Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 this morning. Revelation chapter 20. Get out of the way there. Revelation chapter 20. We're going to begin reading in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And then Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1 said, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, Father, thank you for the word of God, and I just pray you'd help us to understand what we need to understand today. Lord, if there's one that's lost today, I pray for their salvation. And Father, I just pray you'd help me to preach the Word of God clearly. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, Revelation chapter 21, those first five verses that I read, they don't happen without the verses that I read in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. That which is in Revelation chapter 21 will never happen until after Revelation chapter 20. That's an important thing for us to understand, because that's why this passage of Scripture is so important to us. And it's not just important to the lost, it's important to us, because we have to see something. There's something about this judgment that so many people have difficulty dealing with, and people don't like to hear about this judgment, because it involves a judgment of people's works, and the end result is people being cast into a lake of fire and what we call hell, what we call the second death. And there's a lot of different things about hell when we look at this. This hell is not the hell that's in the heart of the earth now. This hell is what's eternal. And so when we look at this lake of fire and we look at what's happening here, we see something. Many people misunderstand this. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, that when it says that I want you to understand, the people that are at this judgment are the dead. They're the dead. They're not the living. You remember when the Sadducees came to Jesus and they They tried to give him a parable of a man that had married a wife. He had seven brothers. He married a wife, and he died. And after the Mosaic Law, his brother took up his wife and took her, his wife as his wife, and he died, left no child, and the next one died and left no child. They went through all the brothers, and all the brothers obeyed the law. They took her to wife, but none of them produced an heir for the original brother, which is what the Jewish people were supposed to do at that time. And in doing so, they tried to use that. They said none of them left any children. So whose wife will she be in the resurrection? And Jesus told them that they erred, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And they said that when, and that's where we get the thing that, you know, that those that are counted worthy of the resurrection, those they to life, they won't in heaven. They neither marry nor are given in marriage. Right? There's the angels of God. So the relationships we know here on the earth are not the same in heaven. They're better. And that's the truth of the matter. And so, but he said, but that the dead rise. He said, did you not read that that God said to Abraham? He said, I'm the God of of Jacob and the God of Isaac the God of all the way through Jacob, Isaac, and so forth, and you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or whoever he said to Moses. He's like, he said to Moses, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and everything. And he told them, he said, he's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. I'm just trying to get your mindset there. If you look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1, at the beginning of the millennium, it said, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. There's a purpose for that, but I'm not going to get to that. And then he says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of God and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now these are the people that died for the cause of Christ, in the name of Christ, during the tribulation. Those that were beheaded for the witness of Christ, and those were there, and they've already been judged. Judgment has already been given unto them. And then we go to Revelation chapter 19, and he said in verse 11, he said, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And then verse 14 said, the armies of heaven which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So who are those armies of heaven? Well, if we go to the book right before the book of Revelation, this is just one place of many that he talks about it. Verse 14 of the book of Jude says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord God cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and with their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Notice he said that the Lord God comes. When he comes back in glory, he comes with 10,000s of his saints. Who are those saints? Those are the people that died in the Lord. Those are the people that were caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Their judgment's already done too. This judgment is a judgment of the dead. Those that are dead in trespasses and sins. And if you believe in a literal millennial kingdom, you have to agree with that. Amen. This is a time where this is not the judgment of the believer, this is the judgment of the unbeliever. And notice what he says about this time. He says this about it. He says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." These dead are judged according to their works. And notice he said, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it." Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? That's talking about the bodies that were either buried at sea or lost at sea or died at sea. This has been multiplied in millions, possibly even billions over the time. Think about the flood. How many people died in the flood? You know, the Bible says 8 souls were saved. Noah and his family, right? And however many millions or billions that were there at that time, we don't know. All of those people who rejected the preaching of Noah. All of those people during that time lost. Died in the flood. And then years, centuries since that time, how many people died at sea? Bodies never recovered. Or buried at sea. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Let's talk about the resurrection of their bodies. There's a resurrection of the just and a resurrection of the unjust. And then he says, "Death and hell gave up the dead that were in them." Death and hell, that's talking about the hell that we know today. That's in the heart of the earth. It's the souls. It's talking about the grave. Because the graves are going to be open, aren't they? So it's talking about the bodies and the souls of these people. That's what it's talking about. And he said they will be judged according to their works. And then it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. When it says death and hell, it's not talking about it. There have been some universalists that have been trying to talk about, well, that's the grave's not going to be anymore and there's going to be no more death, so they'll be gone forever and everybody will be saved. No, that's not what it's saying. It's talking about death and hell. It's talking about those souls that were raised from the dead will be cast in the lake of fire. See, I don't believe that this is the same judgment as the judgment of believers, the judgment that's spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the judgment that's spoken of all of us of every believer. I think that's a separate judgment. I believe that's a separate judgment. I think the scripture before that bears that out. We have saints coming with him in glory, right? And then we have tribulation saints that died and they're resurrected, right? And they reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And it doesn't make any sense that all these saints that have already received judgment, they come back and they're being judged again. Don't think so. Just use a little common sense here in reading your Bible. But there are people out there today that are going to face this judgment. There could be somebody in this church house today that will face this judgment. I mean, I can't look at your eyes and say you're saved. I can't know for sure you're saved. I don't know that about anybody. And the only heart I know is my own. And that's an absolute truth. But the whole point of this message is to tell us that God is getting rid of sin. And therefore, to get rid of sin, He has to get rid of sinners. And this is what's going to precede the new heavens and the new earth. This is what's going to happen. At the end of all these centuries and thousands of years that we've had to deal before the flood and since the flood, with the sin of man, since the fall of man, and God gets to the point of after what we know of this world falls apart and Antichrist is revealed and all the things that happen, God still gives man 1,000 years, doesn't He? He gives man 1,000 years in Garden of Eden, like society, in the sense that the exterior problems will be gone. Gives mankind perfect justice. We always get mad at our justice system. We're upset about criminals that walk and then other people who get judged unfairly. One political party versus the other political party. One, they do the same things and depending on who's in power, one gets prosecuted, the other doesn't. Right? We're upset about that. We're tired of that. There's going to be 1,000 years where that will never, ever happen again. Perfect justice, perfect society, plenty. Everybody needs, anybody that needs something that's going to be available, and yet there's still going to be sinners in the world, and at the end of that millennium, a lot of them are still going to follow the devil, aren't they? Try to overthrow the Lord Jesus Christ yet again. The devil's going to make another run at him. But before that time of that new heavens and new earth, there's a judgment of the dead. There's an end of these things. And it has to be, because there is no new heavens and new earth until sin is dealt with. We don't like to talk about this, but it's necessary. Because it can, Revelation chapter 21 cannot happen until Revelation chapter 20 is concluded in the sense of that judgment. And it says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not cast, not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. As I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, and I was meditating on it, trying to get ready to preach it, and I've never been able to preach this to the point where I've ever been satisfied with the job that I did personally of trying to expound to this, because it's so simple yet so complex in the sense of when you look at it, this is going to be the time when people are going to stand before God and say, Lord, when did we see Thee? Sick or in prison or naked or hungry or whatever, and did not minister unto thee. And he said, this is going to be when it says, inasmuch as ye did it not unto the least of these, ye did it not unto me. This is going to be the time when they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. He says to the others, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire. In Matthew 25, he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. At the same time, these are there when right before this judgment, Satan himself is cast into the lake of fire, and he says where the devil and the false prophet are. In this lake of fire, they're going to be there, and at this point, there'll be three. But after this judgment, there'll be multiplied billions. And they'll be there because they rejected the gospel. And that's the simple fact of it. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We could talk a lot about the book of life and what it means and who it is, and people have different ideas about it. But the bottom line is, unless your name is written in that book of life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. You will suffer the judgment of God for your sins. You will suffer, and you will see the full extent of the cost of your rejection of the salvation of God that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Rejecting Christ as your Savior puts you right here. And you say, well, praise the Lord, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And I say to that, amen.
Amen.
But listen to me carefully. I want you to understand this. There are people that you know that will stand here . The question is, will they stand here never having heard from you? Will your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, your neighbors, your friends, your other family members, whatever they, mama, daddy, whoever it might be, your friends, whatever the case may be, whatever relationship, will they ever hear from you about the salvation in Jesus Christ, or will they just come here? Will you not at least give them a chance? When we talk about passing out gospel tracts, when we talk about doing all of these things that we talk about Christians should do, being a witness for Christ and everything, the idea is that we give everybody the chance, the opportunity to be saved. You can't make anybody get saved, but you can give them the opportunity. You can extend the invitation, can't you? You know, we've been talking and we're going to be teaching about being filled with the Holy Spirit and everything. And one of the reasons I know that we have a dearth of people being filled with the Spirit is because we have all manner of people who never share the gospel but name the name of Christ, who gladly say that they are going to heaven, but they never tell a soul. They don't pass out a gospel tract. They don't just want to give somebody an opportunity. There's no burden for soul winning. There's no burden to get the gospel, the message of Christ out. And we just, you know, life goes on and we just hope everybody gets saved. There's no burden. When we look at the people that were filled with the Holy Spirit, there was a zeal, there was a desire, there was something. And you can be, I don't care how many tongues you speak in or whatever the case may be. If you don't care about the lost, how can you say you're full of the Holy Ghost? And this is a real time. There are going to be people that are going to be cast in a lake of fire. They're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They're going to be there. They're going to be people that are religious. They're going to be people that are churchgoers. They're going to be people that are what we would consider the wicked of our day, the murderers, the whoremongers, all the different people like that. They're going to be all those people, but it's going to be a lot of religious folks there too. They're going to stand before Jesus and they're going to cry out. And I don't know what else to tell you other than the fact that some way they're going to be there. People from this day and age, this generation in which we live, they're going to be there. People from our location, our state, our nation, our state, our city, our town, our neighborhood are going to be at this judgment. And what are we going to do about it? Would we not give them an opportunity? Many preachers have preached about David and Goliath, and they've pointed out when David was rebuked about his desire to go up and stand up to Goliath, and he said, is there not a cause? Is this not cause enough for us to care about the souls of people? Do we believe this? Do we pray for the lost like we should? Do we pray for God to move? Do we pray for revival? Do we pray for people to get saved? Do we pray for our missionaries to have the power they need to get the gospel out? It's kind of funny if you look up on the screen there, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And the reason I put it up there is because it's kind of interesting. What do you got? Somebody with a little phone. Isn't that what we do? Get on a little phone, get on our own little thing, and that's all we do. We just kind of go around. And I see people all the time. I like to watch videos and stuff like that. The internet has a wealth of good resources on it, but there's a lot of wickedness going on it. But you know, the pornography and the politics and all the division and all the hatred and strife and everything that goes on there, I don't think that's the worst evil on the internet. I think one of the greatest evils on the internet is that God's people are afraid to talk and share the testimony of the gospel. I go out, you know, you got what you call a homesteading movement, right? A lot of people going out, and I'm all on board for that. I think self-sufficiency is a good thing to do. We're going to have to get, I believe, and I honestly believe, that we're going to get to a point to where that if you don't know how to do things for yourself and maybe raise you some food and plant a garden and do different things, you're going to be hurting. I can see that happening in our day and age. I know we're not getting any younger, but you know what? We got a bevy of young people that don't know how to do anything. Don't know how to take care of themselves. And so what's going to happen? They're going to just fall into bondage. That's what's going to happen. They're going to end up under tyranny because they can't take care of themselves. We may be looking at famines and all kinds of things. There's things we're going to have to do. And if you're dependent on the grocery store, you're in trouble once the shelves go empty, aren't you? We've seen it happen again and again. We saw it happen in Venezuela, didn't we? That'll never happen here. And that's foolishness. And so I'm glad for everybody that's getting on there and trying to teach people old ways of doing things and how to raise food, how to do gardens and all that. There's a wealth of information on there. But the sad thing is, you know what? I found a lot of those people on there, and they all claim to be Christians, just about. A whole heap of them claim to be Christians. And many people that profess the name of Christ are at the forefront of this type of content on the internet. But you know what they don't do? They don't tell anybody how to get saved. They don't share their faith. Oh, they talk about God, but they don't share their faith. They never give a testimony of how they got saved. So it makes me wonder if they can give a testimony about how they got saved. We're looking at this time, and I'm just trying to stir you up today and get you to see that this day is a reality. It's a day that's coming, and there are people, whatever society or time period we live in, or others before us have lived in us, or others to come will live in, there will be people that are going to die, and if they die without Christ, they will be at this judgment. They will be cast into the lake of fire. And they get to make that choice. Make no mistake. If you end up at this judgment, it's because you chose to be there. But the truth is that we're going to have to realize that God's given us a part to play. And we ought to, we can't make anybody get saved. I can't save a soul, neither can you. But I can tell them who can save them. I can tell them how I got saved. And I just want to challenge you in that regard. I just want to challenge you. To get the gospel out. To tell people, give out gospel tracts. What do you have to do? So I don't know how to speak. I'm not a good speaker. Well, that's hallelujah. We've got a lot of ways you can get around that, don't we? But you know, I think if we'd be at least like Moses enough to believe God, we'd find out we could speak a whole lot more than we thought we could speak. But the bottom line is they're not going to hear from the lost and dying world. They're not going to hear from those who are walking according to the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. They're not going to hear from the devil's crowd. They're going to hear a lie. And the only way they'll hear truth, the truth is through people that are truly believers. Do you believe this day's coming? You know, I've seen it throughout my whole life. There's a tendency in the human way of thinking, especially when people just walk through every warning that's given them, and then the consequences come upon them. We've got this, well, they got what they deserved. You know, I told them, you know, and they got what they deserved. They kind of got that attitude, and it's like, well, you know, they should have had better sense. We kind of get that way, don't we? We can't afford to get that way with this. Because trust me, anybody who ends up here, they're going to get exactly what they deserve. But we should be there too. But for the grace of God, well, for the mercy of God, we're not getting what we deserve. Right? Amen. There's nothing wrong with telling people, if you end up here, you're going to get exactly what you deserve. But we need to finish it and say, you don't have to end up there. You don't have to get what you deserve. There's a God who loves you. There's a Savior who paid the penalty for your sins. There's a way of salvation. There's a way to be reconciled with God. There's a way to have your sins forgiven. There's a way to know you have a home in heaven. There's a way to know that you're going to be at Revelation chapter 21. You know, the saddest thing about this is not something that you've never heard preached before. The saddest thing about it is we hear it preached and we just kind of, I know that. You know, if I came up to you about, say about the 10th of April, and you had been negligent in taking care of your taxes, and I said, did you get your taxes done? You'd be moved to say, ooh, I need to get that done or I'm going to be in trouble. People say all the time, there's two things that's certain, death and taxes. Taxes aren't certain. People get out of them all the time, don't they? But it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But if I told you about your taxes, boy, you'd be upset. You might even be moved to compassion and say, you know what, I better let somebody else know. You might call a family friend or somebody else and say, hey, tax day is April 15th. You ready for it? You got it done? Did you get your taxes done? Tax day is nothing compared to this day. And we need to focus on this day. We need to realize this day is coming. This day is coming for your family. This day is coming for your friends. This day is coming for your neighbors. This day is coming to the strangers you meet on the street. This day is coming. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close out. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I just pray you'd help us to realize that one day that this day is indeed coming. And Lord, we can't do anything but warn people. We can't do anything but show them the way. And yet, Lord, we don't do it the way we should. It doesn't become a point of a focus of our life to find ways to get to people. Not just live right, but be vocal and tell people how that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the dead. That salvation is a gift that only comes through Him. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to get past ourselves and realize that all the things that excuses we use are no good. That we have a responsibility. Because there's coming a time when the dead, small and great, will stand before you. And those not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. And Lord, I believe it's everybody that's at this judgment suffers that fate. But Lord, whether I'm right about that or not, whether my understanding of the scriptures on that is correct, it's clear that whosoever is not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. And every one of us that celebrate and rejoice in the coming of the Lord and we rejoice in our salvation, we have that salvation, that rejoicing, because somebody cared enough for our soul to tell us. Lord, help us to care about who's going to end up here. Help us to just decide that we're going to give as many people as we possibly can. By the grace of God, we're going to give them a chance because we're not going to remain silent. We're going to find ways to tell people about Jesus. Help us to that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.